war criminal. That is how Iraqis have described the Saudi crown prince while protesting the possibility of a visit by him to Iraq. Contradictory statements from the Iraqi prime minister's office and the Saudi foreign ministry show the protests may have had the desired effect. Mohammed bin Salman is not to visit, at least for now. For countries with shaky relations till recently, one has to wonder what is the Saudi game plan in Iraq. While good relations are good for all, the American role in pushing the two closer together to apparently check Iranian influence raises suspicions. Join me, Waqar Azoui, as we discuss Saudi-Iraqi relations. Our guests for tonight's discussion are Mr. Saad Al-Mutallabi, who is joining us live from Baghdad, and he is with the State of Law Coalition. And we're also joined by Professor Nabil Mikhail of George Washington University, and he is joining us live from Washington, D.C. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us. Professor Mikhail, I'll start with you. How do you react to the cancellation of Mohammed bin Salman's visit to Iraq, seemingly in the face of these protests?
It is something that does not represent a major diplomatic loss. I will look at it against the backdrop of the fact that the government of Haider al-Abadi, the current prime minister of Iraq, has been improving significantly and steadily its relationship with the Arab world. I do not like to label them the Arab Sunni states because I do not like to inject any type of sectarianism in my speech. I know that it has been tough for the two nations, Iraq and Saudi Arabia, to talk about many issues. But I think the relationship has improved, and I think there are many channels for communications between Riyadh and Baghdad. I should there are direct contacts, and also there are three nations that could help move Saudi Arabia and Iraq closer. One of them is America itself, because America has major stakes in Iraq, and America is friends with the Saudis. So America can help narrow the gap between Saudi Arabia and Iraq. Second, the two nations actually are cultivating strong ties with Russia. And Russia's interest is to move Saudi Arabia and Iraq together. Lastly, Egypt also is improving its relationship with Iraq. And I understand that the Iraqis are selling oil to Egypt, which it needs badly. And Saudi Arabia is also improving its relationship with Egypt. So there are many direct and indirect diplomatic channels that can ensure a smooth relationship between Iraq and Saudi Arabia. This is good for the average Arab citizen. This is good for the Arab national security. This is just good for the common cause of everything decent and fine.
Mr. Mutallabi, I wonder what your opinion on that is. No doubt, of course, good relations between the Iraqis and Saudis would be a good thing for the region, but MBS's canceled trip, that's certainly a big thing, isn't it?
Yes, thank you very much. We are eager to have excellent relationship with all countries in the world, including the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. But as you know, and many viewers would know, that the Saudis were inciting hatred in Iraq and sectarianism, and have had a great deal or historical facts of interfering in Iraq affairs. Nevertheless, we are looking forward to having a balanced relationship with Saudi Arabia on the mutual national interests of the two countries. But many Iraqis feel that Saudi Arabia should apologize at certain stage for the atrocities that were caused by 5,000 Saudi terrorists that were either blew themselves up or were imprisoned here in Iraq as part of Al-Qaeda first and then part of ISIS. So there are a lot of issues that need to be addressed. But the good news is that we, as a government, we think that expanding the relationship between Iraq and Saudi Arabia is a beneficial factor in the growth of the relationship between the two countries and the two nations. Also, having an understanding between the two countries would ease the sectarian tension that has been boiled for the last few years in the region. Definitely the cessation of violence in Syria would definitely assist in that matter. Any positive relationship mm-hmm. between Iran and Saudi Arabia will have a beneficial effect on the relationship between Iraq and Saudi Arabia.
Right.
Unfortunately, Saudi Arabia looks suspiciously at Iraq and look with suspicion at the relationship between Iraq and Iran, and sometimes they think they have the right to interfere in this matter.
All right, so Professor Mikhail, I wanted to go back to a point that Mr. Mutalabi just made about the Saudi role in the past in Iraq, or many people could possibly argue it's still continuing, but do you think the Saudis are ready to reflect on the mistakes that they have made in Iraq?
They have the right to reflect on their diplomatic history. Like, say, when I was growing up in Egypt, there were always talks about Faisal reconciling with Abdel Nasser. There were animosity between Saudi Arabia and Egypt over Yemen and over many other things. I mean, Saudi Arabia has a long diplomatic history. For one, it's a rich nation, and after the oil boom, it was basically enabled to play a bigger role as a result of its affluence. So that's up to them how to reflect it, how to express it, who would be the listener. And that applies to every nation, Russia, Germany, Britain, France. Should the French reflect on their experience in Algeria? But just let us put the past aside for one important lesson, is that I feel a degree of sympathy for the Saudis and other Gulf states, because basically Saddam Hussein ruined everything. When he invaded Iran back in September 1980, the area was about really to enter the threshold of major developmental projects as a result of the oil wells. Then Saddam regrettably built them for $100 billion. So by the time a ceasefire was declared in September 1988, the Arab countries paid Saddam for his military adventures in Iran, soon in Kuwait, a lot of money. So this is one factor. We are not asking the Iraqis to reflect on their heritage or legacy under Saddam, because for one, it is painful. Second, it is difficult. I would think that if there is a diplomatic chronicling of things, let us just agree on the minimum degree of consensus. I'm a realist in foreign policy. So what is the minimum degree of consensus between Saudi Arabia and Iraq? Because that could help bolster many strong positions for the Arabs, for the Muslims, for the nations that part of the world. Mm-hmm. And then they can discuss history the way they like. This happened to the Europeans after World War II. They set up an agenda for cooperation, and then they contemplated historical past events.
Right. All right, Mr. Mutalabi, I'm glad that Professor Mikhail brought up the war that Saddam waged on Iran, because, you know, it's interesting, isn't it, Mr. Mutalabi, that at that time, when that war occurred, the Saudis supported Saddam at that time, but then when the U.S. invaded Iraq in 2003 and till very recently, the Saudis were very hands-off when it came to Iraq, did not have diplomatic relations with Iraq. Why do you think that we saw this contrast? If Saddam was so bad, then why did the Saudis have relations with him? Why did they not have relations with Iraq after 2003?
I just need to correct some information here. The Saudis and the Kuwaitis, the Saudis, first of all, had provided Iraq with, at the time of Saddam Hussein, with financial aid. But that financial aid was executed as loans to Iraq. And until this moment, we are in debt to Saudi Arabia with billions of dollars. All the world, different European nations and Asian nations in Paris Club, they have dropped their loans against us, except Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, until today, insists that we should pay all the loans, all the money that was handed to Iraq at the time of the Iraqi-Irani war. And the financial assistance that was given to Saddam Hussein, they consider it as a national debt that Iraq need to pay back to Saudi Arabia. Also, Kuwait, until this moment, we are still paying the financial, penalties set on Iraq to Kuwait, and Kuwait did never dropped a penny out of this money. So it's quite difficult to understand why the professor would think that it's easy to forget the past, because they do not forget the past. We definitely, I mean, we don't need Saudi Arabia. We don't have any requirements for Saudi Arabian help or oil or technology or water. There's nothing that we could use of Saudi Arabia, unlike some other Arab countries that do need financial or gas or oil support from Saudi Arabia. We don't need any of that. We would like to forget the past, but the Saudis insist that the past would exist and insist that we pay them back the money they gave to Saddam Hussein to launch his war against the Islamic State of Iran. So this is really a contradiction that we could not understand until today. Mm-hmm. Also, to this matter, we do have in our prisons now thousands of Saudi Arabian terrorists that were accused of killing Iraqi people with evidence. I mean, they were caught being members of ISIS. And as we speak now, they are in prison.
All right, so Professor, I wanted to give you a chance to respond to that, because you said, Professor, that you're a realist, but certainly you can see that this is a two-way road. This is a two-way street. The Saudis and the Kuwaitis have not forgiven the past themselves, or have not gotten over it as the others have not moved beyond the Saddam era, really, seemingly, in their treatment of Iraq. How then can the Iraqis then move past that?
I mean, that will be a historical debate, and frankly, I was not expected that type of question, and I'm not ready for it. But let me just mention quick things. When the Saudis loaned and the Kuwaitis loaned Saddam back in September 1980, they knew that he would not pay back his debt. I mean, he was so much very adventurous. He always took on himself the task of foreign policy goals that were not attainable. So, I mean, like, say, he squandered his wealth. So there is a recognition of the fact that he was a bad player in international politics. He hurt his nation first. So the not every debt would be collected. That was totally known. I do not know about the details of the Kuwaiti-Iraqi relationship, but I would assume that America would be involved in that, considering that America was the power that forced Saddam to exit Kuwait. But here is an important issue which I was not aware of, is that about Saudi citizens in Iraqi prisons. I think that could be discussed bureaucratically. The justice departments or ministry in each country should talk to each other. I think I would assume also that there are Iraqi citizens in Saudi prisons. Like, say, I mean, they are big populations. Each nation is over 30 million, and the borders are open, and the exchange of people and travels are open. So you can get caught up doing something illegal and in prison. So that's something bureaucratic, not political. But I understand now that Iraq and Saudi Arabia can initiate some strategic cooperation, because the Arabs and the Muslims need it. I mean, you can bring Turkey into the picture and discuss ISIL. You can bring the growing Soviet influence in the region and also discuss how it reflects on the two nations. But I think the two nations, Iraq and Saudi Arabia, can cooperate, can discuss candidly so many issues, can try to help move a little bit the Syrian conflict into a more tranquil stage. So, I mean, it's up to them to discover avenues of cooperation. There could be a degree of resentment that's typical of any diplomatic effort.
Right.
But I think the two nations can invest a great deal of effort to stabilize Syria, to boost the Palestinian effort toward the statehood,
right,
and just smooth the relationship and stop the sectarian divisions. And this will be for the welfare of Arabs and Muslims. And I will be the happiest guy in Washington, D.C. to hear and witness these developments.
Mr. Mutallabi, you know, no doubt, of course, no one's arguing that relations between these countries, if they become better, would be a good thing for everybody involved. But, you know, the fact that the Americans, and from what we've understood, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but the first initiatives to expand the relations between these two countries, in fact, happened through the United States, through Tillerson attending the meeting of the establishment of the Saudi-Iraqi Coordination Council in Riyadh. That was in October. Many people say that the Trump administration wants Iraq and Saudi to become closer together to check Iranian influence in Iraq. What do you make of that, Mr. Mutallabi?
Yes, unfortunately, the efforts of the United States to bring the Iraqi-Saudi relationship closer had a price tag attached to it. There's nothing free in this deal. We are, as I said, we are eager to have a balanced relationship with Saudi Arabia. We think it's within the benefit of the two nations that Iraq and Saudi Arabia cooperate honestly between each other. But the Americans have a different view of the reason for this closeness of relationship. The Americans believe that Saudi Arabia should have a direct, deep involvement in Iraq affairs to try to combat any non-Iraqi influence, Turkish or Iranian or Russian or any other influence that America think that may exist in Iraq. So basically, it's the relationship, the Americans look at the importance of the Saudi relation in Iraq here as a checkpoint, or exactly as a checkpoint for allowing or disallowing Iraq from having a deeper or a more open relationship with other nations in the world, like Iran or Turkey or Russia or Indonesia or and so on. So, or the matters in Syria to that issue, and Palestine, of course. So the issue is more complicated than just having, forgetting the past, looking to the future, having diplomatic negotiations with the Saudis on the matter of prisoners. By the way, just for my friend in Washington, I need to tell him that we don't have any Iraqi prisoners in Saudi Arabia. We never interfered in the Saudi affairs. Maybe there are like 10 smugglers that were arrested last year, and we don't really care very much about them. They are smugglers and broke the Saudi rules. So they are not political or not terrorist at any cost.
Okay, gentlemen, we're going to have to leave that as our final word. Unfortunately, we have run out of time, but of course, we do appreciate both your contributions to tonight's discussion. That was Mr. Saad Al-Mutallabi speaking to us live from Baghdad, and he is with the State of Law Coalition. We were also joined by Professor Nabil Mikhail of George Washington University, and he was speaking to us live from Washington, D.C. And of course, viewers, we appreciate you joining us as well. Until next time, good night.